Yeah, let's turn where we started last week. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 18. And again, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to the disciples. Amen. Hallelujah. At the Last Supper. And this is the verse that one of the verses, one of the things he spoke to them. He says, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you," he says. And right here, the Lord Jesus is making the disciples a powerful promise. He says, "I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you orphans, but I am going to come to you." Amen. And I began to say that life happens. Life happens. Life is full of moments of loneliness. Sometimes you may feel abandoned, by family, friends, co-workers, you name it. There's a lot of uncertainties in life as we know it to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Many people have struggled with a deep sense of rejection, and a lot of time that stems from childhood. Amen. I'm a witness to that. I experienced rejection from a very young age. Sometimes you may feel forgotten, disconnected. And what these verses are doing, they're reassuring us today. Us today, because this is the Word of God, and this Word is living and active. Amen. So just the same, he was speaking to the disciples, God knew. We, because he prayed for us believers. He prayed in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. He was praying for us believers, the ones that would accept him as Lord and Savior. He was praying for us. Amen. And he knew the struggles we were going to go through. Amen. But this verse reassures us all that no matter what circumstances you may be facing, you are not alone, because the Lord Jesus Christ has provided a way for us to experience his presence like we just did now. His love and his guidance, his protection. I mean, you can add so many other words here. Amen. So here, like I said, Jesus is speaking to them, and he's preparing them for his departure, because he's telling them, "I'm gonna go soon. I'm gonna go. You're not gonna see me anymore." Amen. And so they become troubled. They become fearful because of his coming death. He's been telling them for a little while. So he tries to comfort them by telling them, "I'm gonna send you a promise of the Holy Spirit." Amen. And what does that mean? The Lord is sending himself to them. He's sending himself to us. If you have accepted and received the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? You have the Holy Spirit. You have Jesus. You have God himself living in the inside of you. Wow, it doesn't get better than that, church. And I expanded a little bit about what it means to have an orphan spirit. And a lot of people haven't heard of that term, but I've been listening to that term for a while now, and I found myself that even as a minister, and I've heard other ministers have been walking in this orphan spirit. And this is what it means. First of all, before we come to Christ, we are spiritually orphaned, right? Because we were separated from God. We were living for the world and in the world, right? Hallelujah. And we didn't even have a true sense of belonging. Like, we were literally lost. Amen. We were lost. Amen. And what an orphan spirit, what it does, it manifests in these areas. It manifests in fear. It manifests in insecurity. It manifests in rejection. It manifests in loneliness. It manifests in you striving to be accepted, maybe by your friends, maybe by people from school when you were younger, maybe by your coworkers and even family. Sometimes we kind of become the black sheep of the family. Have you ever heard that term? You're the black sheep of, oh, I'm the black sheep of the family. Like nobody's like me. I'm the middle child, or whatever the case may be. But we actually label ourselves you know, without even knowing. No, your family, you know, your family loves you. You're not the black sheep, you know. You know, these are things going into your mind, but they're just lies from the father of lies. Amen. And another area that we become, that we have an orphan spirit, it tells us that we lack identity. A lot of us don't really have a true knowledge of the identity of Christ. So we touched a little bit on that last week. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you're in trouble. You really are in trouble, because what you don't know will kill you spiritually. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, Eve didn't really know. You see, in the Garden of Eden, and when I read my scripture from the Bible, it says that God spoke to Adam about not to eat from the forbidden tree. He didn't really tell Eve. Now, the devil, the enemy, came in and deceived Eve because she lacked knowledge. And because of that fall, Adam could have stopped and told Eve, don't eat of the tree, because he already knew that he shouldn't have. God already warned him, but he didn't. He didn't take his place, his rightful place. So they got deceived because they didn't know better. Amen. Yet they were God's beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. But they fell. Lack of knowledge, lack of knowing. Amen. And a lot of us Christians, I'm talking about Christians, believers, we're walking with a lack of identity, because if we knew our identity, we wouldn't do certain things that we still do today. Amen? So the good news is that Jesus came to restore us to the Father. Like I said before, the Lord Jesus came and he restored relationship with God the Father, I call him Papa God, you know? Truly restore our relationship with him, and he gave us a new identity as sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. So God's words, when he tells the disciples, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you, is their words of assurance to the disciple that his departure does not mean abandonment. Mm-hmm. Because his presence will continue through the Holy Spirit, just like us. Amen. Today, we're not abandoned. We have been loved. Hallelujah. We have been fully equipped with every spiritual blessing. And the most treasure that we have right now is having the presence of God living in the inside of us. The Holy Spirit himself lives with us. We are not abandoned. We are not orphaned. Amen. So when we hear the enemy say, ha, God is not there for you. God left you stranded. God is not protecting. It's a lie from the pit of hell, because God is always with us. Psalm 91 is over us, through us, and in us. Amen. If you know scripture, Amen. You got to continue to speak Psalm 91 over yourself and over your family. It's a great, great Bible chapter. Amen. Mm-hmm. We can't take the word of God for granted. It is life to our spirit. It is just life. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue this week, and so Jesus fulfills the promise, as we know, and he fulfills it in several ways. So today I want to speak to you about how Jesus fulfilled his promise. Amen. So this is part B of the lesson from last week, and let's begin. Number one, he fulfilled it through his resurrection. Amen. Remember, the Lord, he was born of a Virgin Mary. He lived. Amen. He died. Amen. But on the third day, he resurrected. And after his death, amen, Jesus physically, we have eyewitnesses through scripture that says he physically appeared to his disciples, proving he had conquered death and sin. Amen. So we're going to start by going to those scriptures now. Let's go to the Gospel of John. chapter 20, and we're going to begin in verse 19. And again, just to recap, we are talking about the second part of this verse, because it said, I will not leave you orphans. And we, last week, I spoke about what it means to be an orphan or to have an orphan spirit. I went into details. I'm going to go into a little bit more details today also. But today we're concentrating on the promise. I will come to you. Amen. That's what he tells the disciples. And that's true to us today. He's here. The promise that he made the disciples is here for us today. Amen. And through his resurrection, this is what the word says. Verse 19, it says, then the same day that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Let me stop there. You got to remember, you know, this happened after Mary went to the tomb to go and prepare the Lord Jesus. Remember, the stone had been rolled open. His body was not there. Amen. And she was like distraught. She was crying. And as she went, she thought the gardener was talking to her, but it was actually Jesus. And Jesus says, tell the others, go and tell the others that I am alive. Just as I said it, I am alive. So go tell the others. So here, what we're reading here is when he literally appeared to the disciples, because he told Mary, tell them to wait for me in the room, right? So here he says, and remember, the disciples were in fear, because remember, if they crucified the Lord Jesus, and because they were affiliated with the Lord and they were his disciples, they were afraid that they were going to, find them and put him in prison or eventually crucify them. Amen. So they were in great fear of the Jews. So Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Amen. So he's right now, he's declaring words that are going to come to pass. Amen. Because remember, the word of God says in the Gospel of John, in many areas of the gospel, Jesus would always tell the disciples, I don't do nothing except what my Father tells me to do. I don't say anything unless my Father tells me to say it. Amen. So now he's making a promise. He says, as the Father sent me, I also sent you. Amen. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, remember that when they received the Holy Spirit, that was during Pentecost. And I'm going to touch on that. So he's just declaring words out. So let's go back to 19. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's go back to verses 20, 19, because in the book of Luke, right, we're not going to turn there, but it revealed that in between the time that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and his appearance, hallelujah, remember the two guys that he was walking with in the town of Emmaus? He revealed himself to those two guys. Amen. So this happened in between those times. Okay. This is where verse 19 is taking place. Amen. So John made a special mention of Jesus appearing in the room while the doors were shut. Why? Because this is showing them, and this is showing us today, that our resurrected bodies will not have the same limitations that our physical bodies do. Amen. So Jesus' resurrected body, amen, he didn't have to open the door. Amen. Hallelujah. Because he had no physical body. He was a spirit. So he just walked right through the door.
Right in.
Amen. So I'm sure the disciple must have been startled when he walked in and there he is. Amen. And it tells us, you know, they witnessed Jesus was in a spiritual body and not a physical body. And it could only be discerned spiritually. And they witnessed Jesus nail scarred hands. Amen. They saw those scars. They saw when the side also, how he was speared through the side. They saw that scar there too. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is why these scriptures were written, so that we can believe by faith that this really took place. They were eyewitnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. They witnessed a spiritual body within that room. No knock on the door, no opening doors. He just walked in. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And they saw his side was pierced. Like, they believed. Amen.
Amen.
They believed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And in verse 21, hallelujah, in verse 21, you know, he makes this powerful statement. Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Hallelujah. That's a great statement. What a commission. I mean, he's sending these disciples out. That's a commission. That's a commission mm-hmm. we've been giving ourselves too from the Lord Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. We now have Jesus giving us a calling for our lives, right? In Ephesians, I'm not going to turn there, but in Ephesians 1:18, it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling upon your life. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? That's us. Amen. So there's a calling on our lives. And the same way that the Father sent the Lord Jesus, he's sending us, his saints, out. He's sending the disciples out. There's a calling upon your life. Amen. There's a calling upon our life. And I believe with all my heart, our calling on our life is to be intimate with God, amen, to have communion with him, because when you have communion with God, everything else falls into place, because you will be fully in tune with him. You'll be hearing him. You'll be fully tuned to know, okay, God, whatever you ask him, he's going to answer. Whatever doubts you have, he will clear them. Whatever you are in need of, he will show you through scripture how to grab hold of it. Because we got to know that Jesus already did it all.
Amen.
The debt was paid in full.
Yes, it was.
But I'm going to show you later, but now it's up to us. It's up to us to put our words, our knowledge, the truth of God into action. Amen.
Amen.
And in verse 22, you know, this was just, you know, this was also recorded in the book of Luke. Amen. And Jesus was just giving the command to receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And we know that the actual coming of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost. In the book Amen. Of Acts 2:1-4. So he's just speaking, you know, he's commanding these words, and they're going to come to pass, because we know they come to pass. And this is what we as believers, we got to begin to command those things that are not as if they are. Command what you want to see in your life as if they're not right now. You got to speak out, just like if the Lord spoke it out, we can speak it out. If God the Father spoke the world into creation by words, we can speak things out. Through our words, there's power into being. Amen? That's the power we have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. We're doing what the Father tells, what Jesus is telling us to do now. God the Father. They're all one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're all one. They're God. Amen. So we do as the Lord tells us to do. Amen. We speak as the Lord tells us to speak. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Matthew 28:20. I tell you, there's so much to say under this. That's what I said. I don't know if I'm going to be done today. Hallelujah. Matthew 28:20. We all know this by heart, right? And the Lord says, and we can start in, let's start in 18. All authority, this is Jesus speaking, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We know that the authority was given to Jesus by God the Father. Amen. And then he says, now go therefore, he's talking to the disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Again, another section in scripture where God tells you, you are not abandoned. You don't think that you haven't that you're living as an orphan. No, I am with you. You are Amen. Not alone. Amen. And here the Lord, what the Lord is doing, he's reassuring the disciples. He's reassuring us today that he will always be with us. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Always. He will never leave us. Amen. The Lord supernaturally enables us to make disciples. Amen. Are we making disciples today with what God has given us? I want to say yes. I want to say that I believe that whatever scriptures and whatever messages, sermons, teachings, preaching, whatever it is that people receive from a platform like this is to make people disciples. Amen. Because Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Because Christian maturity doesn't come automatically. Amen. Or as we just do our own thing. Amen. A lot of us like to do our own thing yet. Amen. Hallelujah. But what it does, hallelujah, it the word of God begins to excel us. Hallelujah. In discipleship. And discipleship, to be very honest with you, is the missing ingredient in most Christian lives. Because what they don't know, they don't know. And what they do know, they don't follow. Amen? Mm-hmm. There is a real, Paul tells us there's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, right? Every day there's a struggle. But the more you disciple yourself through the word of God, or by attending church service, by getting fed the word, by getting the truth of the word fed to you, the more of a disciple you're going to become, the more like Jesus you will become. And that was the whole purpose. The Lord discipled many people when he was here on earth. But now he's given us that responsibility to go and disciple others in all parts of the nations. Amen.
Amen.
So that's our commission. Amen. So we're talking about here the promises of God. Hallelujah. I want to go over four things. Amen. The promises that says, I will come to you. Well, one, we just spoke about, is through his resurrection. Number two is going to be through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's a promise. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit as our helper, comforter, and guide. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 16. 14:16 says, and this is the Lord speaking, still Jesus, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Again, forever. That means you're not alone. So Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, who is the helper, who is your guide. Hallelujah. Who is your peace. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the one that will assist you. Amen. Was speaking to, so Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit, who is the one that he's sending. This is why they will not be alone, because he's sending himself to them. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, in our life, is the front line of defense against the devil and his devices of defeat. Amen? Listen, without the Holy Spirit, we're not equipped. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit fully equips us. Amen? As the defense mechanism against the enemy, the devil, because he goes to and fro looking to see who is weak among the brethren and who he can go against and devour or try to devour. Amen? He's looking. He is relentless, church. I know and you know how strong he can come and attack you and your family. Amen? But we have a promise. We have been given a promise from the Lord Jesus. You are not alone, and you have something that is so powerful, so beautiful, and it is your treasure. Amen? It is the Holy Spirit dwelling with you. And what that means, that God's presence is real in your life. God's presence becomes real in your life. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise him. 1 Corinthians 3:16, this is what it says. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Listen to this, the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. I mean, that's amazing to know that the Spirit of God, that he, oh my God, for God so loved the world. He didn't just give us the Lord Jesus. After the Lord resurrected, he gave us himself to us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us God himself. God abides in us today. Amen. But you have to know, don't you know that you are the temple of God? You are the temple of God. Amen. You know, whatever you do in this life, guess what? God sees it. God knows about it. God knows everything about you. He even knows the number of hairs that you have on your head. And if you're bald now, he knew the numbers of hairs that you have on your head. Amen? I mean, he knows everything. Every little detail, God knows. And the greatest difference between the New Testament believers and the old believers is the fact that the New Testament believers are the temple of God today. That's us. God himself actually indwells in us. Amen. In the Old Testament, as you recall from scripture, amen, the Spirit of God will come upon people, anoint them for service. And he even came to the Old Testament prophets to inspire them to write scriptures. But this was only temporary. Amen. In the New Testament today, the Lord indwells people. He's indwelling in us. He made himself residence in us through the new birth. Amen. Why? Because we accepted him. We were born again. We had a new birth in Christ. And now he has become permanent abode. And that's a term used in taxes. Permanent residence. Amen. In us. So, you know, God is not dwelling in buildings or anything like that, that was made with man's hands. No, he now lives in the hearts of his people, those who made Jesus their Lord. Amen. The building is no longer the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Hallelujah. So the believer spirit has become the temple of God. Hallelujah. And if we had a revelation, a real revelation of this reality, that Christ is in us, amen, I really believe that many Christians will not be walking the way they are today. Amen. You got to have a real revelation. There's a reality in this verse right here that we are the temple of God. Amen. And we got to get a revelation of that, because a lot of people, they forget that God himself is living in the inside of us. Amen. And they do what they want with their bodies. And God is saying, no. Holiness is living in the inside of you. And if the Lord says, be holy for I am holy. Walk in holiness. And we can walk in holiness because we have the Holy Spirit who is our helper. Amen. Yeah, there are certain things we cannot do on our own. There are certain things that addictions, maybe smoking, addiction to smoking, drinking, drugs and all that. Let me tell you, you can't get rid of that addiction on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to help you change your life and turn away from that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know people that have been set free from one day to the other. Amen. Because they got a true revelation of the reality of Christ living in the inside of them once they accepted the Lord. It didn't take them long. For some people, it may take longer, and that's okay because they're on their way to freedom. Amen. But man, if we could just grasp that revelation, it would drastically change our attitudes, our emotions, and even our actions. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Another way that Jesus fulfills his promises, one, through his resurrection, two, through the Holy Spirit, and now we're going to talk about through his word. Because he reveals this promise through his word. Amen. And let's turn to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 31. Gospel of John 8, 31 and 32. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, these are Jews that believed the Lord Jesus, okay? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? So Jesus speaks to us through scripture, and through the scripture, he is revealing to us his love, his truth, and his direction. Amen. But I want you to know in these two verses, a lot of people, and I've done it myself, and I've quoted, the truth will make you free. But that truth is conditional, because if you go to the above verse, it says, if you abide, if, there's an if there. Remember, if, that means you have to choose. That means you have to be intentional. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. We spoke about discipleship. Amen. You got to be in the word. You know, a disciple doesn't pick up the Bible every Sunday when they come to church. A disciple of Christ, a true disciple of Christ, is in the word every day. Amen. So Jesus was speaking to Jews who believed on him, yet he said that they would not be disciples unless, we read it, unless they continue in his word. Amen. If you abide in my word, if you continue in my word, amen. If you remain in my word, we can take out abide and put a bunch of synonyms there. Amen. But Jesus was very clear. Unless you continue in my word, you cannot be my disciple. So he makes a clear distinction here between those who believe and those who were disciples. And there is a difference. You can see it. Amen. Yeah, anybody can say, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm with Jesus. Amen. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But let me tell you, if you're not in the Word of God every day, you cannot be a disciple of Christ. You got to be a follower. And followers are in the Word of God every day, because every day you have to renew your mind. Every day the enemy's going to come at you. Every day. Because he's looking to and fro. He's looking for a weak vessel that he can try. Remember, he can't conquer unless you give him permission and you open the door and you cooperate with Satan. He can't do anything. But if you become weak because you're not in the Word, it's going to be easier for Satan to try to come in subtly, amen, and mess with you and mess with your mind. And we got to avoid that. We are disciples of Christ. We're not going to allow that to happen. Hallelujah. And you know, we're not going to go there, but even in the verse John 8, you know, the Lord continues in his word where he tells the Jews, you are the father of the devil. Amen. I mean, because, you know, they're liars, you know. Don't tell me you believe in me and yet you're not really in the Word. You speak in the Word out loud, but your actions are speaking louder than the words. Amen. And we know from Scripture that these Pharisees and these Jews, some of them, priests and all that, and they were hypocrites. Even God called them hypocrites. You hypocrites, you know, because they would say one thing and do another. Mm-hmm. So what, you know, what, when I read these scriptures here, you know, it sounds like just believing isn't enough. Continuing in the Word until we get free and become disciples should be your goal, should be my goal. Not just forgiveness of sins. That's just not enough. There's a lot more than being saved from the, you know, in the Lord. There's a lot more to salvation. There's salvation. There's healing. There's blessings. There's deliverance. There's restoration. Amen. There's freedom in the Word of God. And true disciples, hallelujah, are marked by the fact that they continue in God's Word. Mm-hmm. So if you continue in His Word, then God will, you are truly my disciples. So staying in God's Word has to be a lifestyle. Amen. Not just something done occasionally, because the word says to just live by faith. Amen. And we are believers. We're disciples of Christ. We got to remain in the Word of God. We are the righteousness of God in Jesus. And the reality is that being a disciple indeed comes only through a maturing and in the knowledge of and action on the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
There's no way you can become a disciple without being in the Word, studying the Word, allow the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. Amen? You know, like we read before, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that the Lord would pour out the spirit of wisdom upon you. Amen. And when you read the Word, it is the Holy Spirit that is revealing to you the mysteries, revealing to you and even talking to you through Scripture. Amen. And you got to be in the Word. You want to mature in the things of God. You got to know God. You got to be in the Word. Amen. And act on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus, in these verses, he was stating, when we become thoroughly acquainted with his Word, amen, in an intimate manner, we begin to experience things that we never experienced before. How many of us have been in the Word of God and God, through his Word, begins to reveal things that you've been praying for, asking amen. For? Amen. And then, and as we get in his Word, amen, and we begin to receive revelation and even illumination of a situation that you may be going through, then deliverance comes. From the bondage that you're in. Because Amen. All things that we go through, all things that pertain unto life and godliness are given unto us through Christ, amen, through his knowledge, because he calls us his own. We are his sons and daughters, amen. And he wants us to be in the know. He wants us to be in the word, because he tells us in verse 32 that once we abide in his word, indeed, you are my disciples. You are mine. You are my followers, true followers. And the truth that you read and you begin to know, and I begin to reveal to you, says the Lord, will set you free. And how many of us need freedom?
Amen.
Amen. And I lift up my hands.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we all need freedom. Amen. And in the word of God, in the spirit of God, there is freedom. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We cannot be free without revelation knowledge of the word of God. There's no way. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our walk is by faith, not by sight. And when we begin to immerse ourselves in his word, we experience his presence even more deeply. You want to know God deeply? I know I do. So I got to get in his word. I want to experience him. I want to feel God. I want to know him so well that I ask and he answers right away, and I can hear him right away. That's my goal. Amen. Hallelujah. And the thing is that we can have that type of relationship, but you got to be in the word. Amen. You got to be in communion with God. You got to immerse yourself in the word, in the word. You got to pray. Amen. Got to be in the word. Amen. You got to get to your secret place. If you know how to speak in tongues, amen, that, and you begin to pray in tongues, just you and God, that is being in the secret place of God. Amen. And there he begins to deposit to you. You begin to speak things that you don't even know you're supposed to be praying about. But through the speaking in tongues, God begins to deposit and reveal to you things that you may not be aware of, or things that you never even thought of that idea. Oh, I can try that. Thank you, Lord. And you know it's from God. You know it's from God because you've been asking him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to the other promise. Amen. Again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How the Lord Jesus fulfilled his promise. So we already went through three, and now we're going to go to the fourth one. Through the body of Christ. Through the church. Amen. And we just slightly touched on that last week. But let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Okay. Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are we in the last days, church? We're in the last days. The day is approaching. The day is approaching. Amen. So here, how does God fulfill his promise? Well, he fulfills it through his church too. God places us in a family, in his family, the church, so that we never walk alone again. Amen. Aren't we gathered together today? We are in unity right now. We are commune with one another right now, even on this platform. Amen. And if when we read here the first verse, right, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Well, you know what the word consider means? To, you know, let us study. You can replace it with the word study. Let us ponder. Let us be deliberate. Let us examine, right? Or think upon one another. Wow, that's profound.
That's 24.
Because it takes time and effort on our part to become effective ministers to others. We minister to one another, don't we? Amen. So the Lord is very clear about, Paul is very clear about his words here. You got to consider each other. Amen. In order to stir up love. So, and good works. But love comes before good works. Amen. I mean, it's clear here. Love comes before good works. If we do all the good works in the world, but aren't motivated by love, it profits us nothing. So if we do stuff for one another, but it's not being motivated by love, you're not really loving me in true honesty, amen? It profits us nothing. So good works are the byproduct of loving and knowing God. Because why do we love each other? Because God first loved us, amen? 1 John 4:19. We love because God first loved us. So when we receive the love of God, now we can bestow that love unto others. It's so much easier. Amen? Because we understand how much the Lord loved us, for God so loved the world. Amen? That he gave his only son. There's love there. Love. For love. All for love. The Lord did it. All for love. The God gave. All for love. I do for others. All for love, you do for others. You do for me. I do for you. Amen. All for love. Amen. Can we agree on that? It's all motivated by love, true love. So this, you know, love doesn't happen accidentally. You know, we got to provoke each other unto love and good works. Amen. Love is a choice. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's an action. We choose to love. See, God chose to love us. Even when we didn't deserve his love, he chose to love us anyway. He chose to be merciful when we didn't deserve his mercy. He chose grace for us when we didn't deserve grace. Amen? God did it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So here the verse is showing us, hallelujah, that a major way of really doing that, loving one another and exhorting one another and edifying one another, is through the assembling of ourselves together with other believers, like-minded believers, in fellowship. The word is saying clearly that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together with other believers. And the word here, forsake, does not mean we have to be at church every time. And we know that right now we don't have a physical church. But I'm just letting you know what scripture is telling us. Doesn't mean that you always have to be in the church every time we gather together. Amen. Or every time the doors are open. There will come a time when we will be gathering together in our church buildings. It means we need to assemble with each other believers regularly. Outside of church too, just like in the book of Acts. People gather together in their homes. They commune together. They took supper together. They pray for one another regularly. Amen. And I'm still waiting for an invitation. Hey, listen, I'm open. Hey, listen, I'll drop what I'm doing and invite me over to your house. We need to fellowship. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We really do
Amen.
Need to fellowship. I don't think people realize the importance of it. And it doesn't matter how busy I may be or how busy you are. God is calling us to assemble together to fellowship. Amen. Because when we come together, Amen. We lift each other up. When we come together, there's nothing like it. We begin to just share the love that we have for one another. We begin to partake and share stories and lift each other up. What you may be weak in, I can be strong in. What I may be weak in, you can be strong in. And together, we make things happen. Amen. Because we are fully equipped.
Yes.
With all spiritual blessings for the Lord to work his miracles, which he already did in the inside of us. We are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, it means we should be assembling with each other regularly. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, there are churches that it is very unfortunate, and I know it to be that way, that they have misused this word to manipulate people and to the point to control them through condemnation, that they have to be there at every little function. No, this is why you have different departments. This is why you delegate. Amen. Because the last thing you want is for people to be burnt out in ministry. That's not God's way of doing things. And unfortunately, this type of control in ministries have ruined many family lives. Amen. But this is not what these verses are talking about. He's just encouraging us all that we need to fellowship together with like-minded believers. Amen?
Amen.
And there's, you know, no Christian is supposed to be on their own. Or be on their own. Amen? We got to gather together. And as the days get closer, amen, we need to get closer. As the end time gets closer, we need to get closer. So the need for fellowship with other believers has to increase. That's what these verses are saying.
Amen.
The worse the times, the more we need each other. This is why it's so critical that we come together in corporate prayer. Amen. Because we're lifting the church. We're lifting each other up in prayer unto God.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when we engage in Christian fellowship, we begin to experience the tangible love of Christ. Amen. Because of his promise, we can live as sons and daughters and not orphans, because we're not alone. God has given us a family. You know, you're not in this ministry by coincidence. It was ordained by God. God brought you here. God brought me here. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've taken a lot of time and I'm not done yet. Amen. So we're going to have part three. Amen. But because there's so much to say, church, in just one verse of the gospel, there was so much to say. Amen. But you know, God has given us such a huge promise that we are his sons and daughters and our orphans. And I'm just going to end with this and we'll close. Amen. But you know, when I first got the call to become a pastor, you know, I just began to realize, reading about the orphan spirit, that I was walking with an orphan spirit from the time I began to pastor this church. Amen. Because when I got the call and I began to pastor in July 2015, it's going to be 10 years now in July that I've been walking in pastoral shoes. You know, I was in fear. I was insecure. Amen. I thought I needed to perform like other people. Amen. I mean, I felt lonely because I was, amen. I, you know, Peter had been gone for 3 years, so I felt lonely. I felt kind of abandoned, and some people left the church, so I kind of felt rejected also, and you know, at that point, and I didn't realize until recently that I really was walking with an orphan heart, with an orphan spirit. Amen. And God brought this to my remembrance, and I didn't know this. Amen. So through listening and reading the word, there's freedom. Amen. There's freedom. And I'm so glad that the Lord opened the doors for me to study at the university, and he's opened other doors for me to study.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Through the word and through everybody that has stuck with me from July 2015, let me tell you, I thank you, I love you, and I appreciate you.
Amen.
Because without
Amen.
You, I couldn't be here. Without
Amen.
You, I would have, I don't know what would have happened. Amen. But because of you, I am here. And I just want to thank you. Amen. Because God placed you in the midst of his calling upon my life. And I'm just so grateful to God. Amen. And I thank you for sticking with me. Even through the times I was so fearful, so insecure, that even my preaching and my messages were not the greatest, but what I learned from God is he shared with me, Bernice, I am well pleased with you.
Amen.
I receive your messages.
Amen.
Amen.
I took those messages. You spoke my word. And he says, Bernice, I love you. You're my daughter. Amen. I have adopted you. You're not alone. And I am well pleased with you. And Amen. And just receiving those words just a few weeks ago, let me tell you something, has brought so much freedom. Amen. Yes. And I'm just being transparent because you know me, I like to be transparent. I'm telling the truth. I got into this role as a pastor and I did not accept the call until like 7 years later. And the Lord revealed that to me and I revealed that to you during a Sunday service. Amen. So I've been transparent with you from the get-go. But I just want to let you know that the same way God loves me and he loves you. The same way God is well pleased with me, he is well pleased with you. And I'm telling Amen. You right now, you're not alone. You are loved. Amen. You have been adopted by God the Father, and he loves you unconditionally. Amen. Amen. And with that story, I will close. Amen. Because I've gone over the time. Amen. But I...